So this evening's reading is from Luke 12, verses 16 to 21. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God.' This is the word of the Lord."
Thank you very much, Debbie. Got to get my props ready. Fantastic. So we are in the second talk, as Kate mentioned, of our little mini-series, The Advent Conspiracy. And it's great to see, hopefully you caught last Sunday's online, and now you can hear it, you can see it in the flesh. And I had some really positive feedback from last week's talk. And so I want to press on with this theme of the Advent Conspiracy, where we conspire to do things differently this Christmas. Let me start by asking you whether you know how much work, how much effort, how much money, how much planning, how much research, how much design goes into making us all spend more money. And the answer is an awful lot. And not just to spend more money, but to spend it on things you weren't even planning on buying. Now, the only stats I could find are from North America, but apparently, and I did check on the original article for this, the average consumer, and this completely blew me away, okay, spends £350 a month on impulse buying. That's over £4,000 a year. 70% on food. So next time you're food shopping, bear that in mind. And also 80% of respondents, and this is so me, bought in response of a good deal and a discount. Now, you know what it's like in shops, don't you? Waitrose is a total nightmare for me. I mean, it's literally when Lucia wants me to pop into Waitrose, she'll go, "Darling, could you just pop into what?" "Actually, no. I don't think I should be asking you." And I go, "No, I'll go to Waitrose, darling. I'll go." You just need one thing. We have run out of whatever it is. Okay? Just come back with that one thing. And I have never managed to come back with only that one thing. It is horrific. It is so frightening. I'm the biggest sucker for impulse buying. Particularly, have you ever been into a food shop when you're hungry? Isn't that the perfect storm, isn't it? That's me. But everything about our shopping experience is carefully calculated to make us spend more. Even how you walk through the shop. I used to be quite naive. You know, you go into IKEA and you think, "Oh, they've laid all this out. It's very helpful that they've put all these nice, cheap little things just by the checkouts as you go out." You know, never occurred to me that they've got a whole team of rocket scientists and psychologists and psychiatrists working out how suckers like me will fall for the layout. And I slavishly follow the arrows. So I'm exposed to the maximum amount of marketing. Actually, I've overcome that now. My little challenge when I go into IKEA is to beat the arrows. I rebel. I go in the opposite directions. I take shortcuts ever since, because I read that IKEA article a few years back. But so the odds are stacked against us, okay? We're all suckers, I think, to a greater or lesser extent for impulse buying. And so back to the Advent conspiracy. We're trying to raise an important question, which is, does the way we spend our time, our money, and our energy during Christmas reflect the way we honor Jesus Christ at Christmas? Is Jesus central to Christmas? Or, put it another way, is the Christ in Christmas for us? Or do we need to conspire to do Christmas a different way than the way our culture has taken it over? So thinking personally, why don't we just ask ourselves, how many Christmases have you looked back on where it's left you feeling absolutely stuffed, having overeaten and needing that crash diet or that gym membership, with lots of presents that perhaps you don't need, and even worse, are either not compostable or not recyclable? Wondering, perhaps, where the wonder of Christmas has gone. Literally, it's literally like that infant Christ has just been buried under all the wrapping paper. Now, as I said last Sunday, we worship less, we spend more, we give less, and I think we end up struggling more. Christmas is a dreadful time of people getting into debt. People, I mean, very sensibly set up, you know, very optimistic and ambitious savings plans so they can afford to spend huge amounts of money at Christmas. But do we really need to do that? I wonder what it would look like if this Christmas we worship more fully, we spent less, we gave more, and we loved all. And we did all of this in the name of Jesus, to Jesus. And so the Advent conspiracy is to take the weeks leading up to Christmas to conspire to do it differently, to rebel against what all the marketing would have us do. And last week we kicked off by looking at being subversive, and we looked at the Magi. Now, they worshipped fully, they worshipped at some risks to themselves, and they gave these sacrificial gifts to Jesus. But what if this Christmas we took a decision to intentionally spend less? Now, we've sort of taken a step in that direction. We bought a puppy in September, which is why I'm in these old trousers, because she hasn't learnt not to jump up yet. And she is so full of love and enthusiasm. She's like a spring. She just jumps up the whole time. So I've given up trying to wear any clean pair of trousers. And so we decided we were going to spend our money on the puppy then, and we were going to have a very, very pared back Christmas financially as a result of that. It's my problem is I'm not sure as a family we can cope with that. You know, I'm still wanting to buy lots of presents and stuff like that, and we have to remind ourselves, actually, we've already spent all that money on the puppy. But you might be wondering, why, what difference, what does it matter if we spent less? Well, I think we have made Christmas so much about spending. It's all about gifts, so much so that not only is a celebration of the birth of Christ lost in the midst of all that, but Jesus isn't even at the top of our present list. And in our reading, which isn't really a seasonal reading, but I think it fits very well with the theme tonight, we hear this really frightening parable of this rich, foolish farmer who is blessed with an abundance of material possessions. And he has a choice. And remember back then, Jesus spoke in these agricultural parables, these stories, because it was an agricultural country. Everyone was, you know, farming touched everybody's lives. And there was so much need and so much want that, you know, there were even rules that Kate talked to us about in the series on Ruth, you know, where the farmers left the gleaning, the leftover ears of corn, so all the poor people could come in and, you know, pick up all the seeds from the ground. And yet this farmer, we're told, just wants to build a bigger barn. He doesn't pause for a moment to think, well, how can I bless other people with this windfall that God has blessed me with? And then there are these frightening words, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. He never lives long enough to enjoy, to eat, drink, and be merry as he was hoping to do. That's the tragedy of that story. Had, of course, he lived a generous life, the outcome would have been different. And giving to Jesus was at the heart of that Christmas story we talked about last Sunday, when the Magi who first came across Christ, when they opened their treasures and presented him with their gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And ever since that time, the giving of gifts has been very much part of what Christmas is about. But when we are at our very best, our present giving should start with Jesus. And Jesus went on to make it very clear how to do that by saying, when you give to the least when you give to the least and the lost, you give to me. When you give to the least and the lost, you give to me. And I'll be connecting that verse to a story I'm going to finish on. But anyway, how do we start to recapture the meaning of Christmas by spending less? How do we confront the idea that the only way to show love, the only way to celebrate Christmas, is to spend lavish amounts of money on presents for yourself or other people? Well, as a family, I've always tried to make the point that it's much more about presents than about presents, if you know what I mean. You know, when your kids get to that age where hugging their parents is really, do I really want to hug you, Dad? Kind of thing. And they say, well, sorry, Dad, I haven't really bought you a present. My reaction is, okay, a hug will do. This is the only chance I'm going to get a hug this year, sort of thing. And, you know, that physical contact, that hug, that physical presence is so much more important. I've also encouraged them to make Christmas gifts for those they have loved. So, yeah, here we have a Christmas tree with a teddy bear that I think is supposed to be baby Jesus at the bottom, and there's a nice star at the top. And, of course, these presents, any of you here who have been blessed to be parents or grandparents will know how precious these things are. And for those of you who don't yet have children or don't have your own children, I have no doubt you will have made something like this many years ago that will be still treasured by your parents. Here's another thing that one of the children, I think it's an empty crib, or it could be a castle, I'm not sure which. But they are precious gifts, more precious than had a child spent £10 of their pocket money and gone to buy something like that. So that's one way we can spend less money. So it's the same with Christmas cards. Christmas cards are eye-wateringly expensive now. You can make Christmas cards. Handmade ones are always the most special. Now, I wonder what other families do. Well, I asked around, and one idea was to have all the families shopping for each other at Poundland. Now, when you've got a family the size of Ollie Holland's family, that's got to be the best idea, okay? Ollie's giving us the thumbs up from the side. All sorts of stuff you can get there. And so it's the whole thing that, you know, presents, E-N-C-E, is so much better than E-N-T-S. I remember when I was in the army and I used to be away, I can't remember how many Christmases I spent away. It was always really tough. And the thing I missed the most was not opening a present. It's just like presents are completely unimportant. The only real present I wanted was actually that physical touch of being with somebody I loved. And we've also written little cards for each other. Actually, mainly it's Lucia's written them for me, which are little token promises. I promise to give the bearer of this card a 30-minute head massage. Yes! I mean, that is like pure gold for a Christmas present. And another idea, although this perhaps isn't so much about spending less, it's certainly spending better, is to go onto a charity like Tear Fund. They're all doing it now, Christian Aid. And you can buy a chicken. And you can get a little email sent to somebody you're buying this present for saying, you have just given a chicken to someone in a village in the middle of wherever. And you can go all the way up to a goat, mosquito nets, medical things. I mean, they really are life-changing gifts. Some of you have been also a part. So moving slightly away perhaps from spending less on material things, on gifts, how about giving to Jesus in terms of your time, your effort? I know some of you have in the past helped to serve our free Christmas lunch down at the community center. Sadly, for obvious reasons, it's not happening this year. There's all sorts of ways of serving other people through the church this Christmas. Joe's already mentioned there's part of our website where you can sign up to help. We actually need help at probably every single service we have. We need people to do the track and trace. We need people to help with communion. We need people to help wipe down all the chairs after the services. Next Sunday evening, I'm really hoping and praying that instead of coming to the service, you can all come to serve, either at the 4:30 or the 6, or both. We're going to need loads of people in high-vis jackets. It's going to be very officious. Andrew's in charge. Very COVID compliant. Don't say anything, Will. Very COVID compliant indeed, and we're going to have sort of lots of torches outside and lighting, and it's going to be great. We're going to try and serve mulled wine if we can see a legal way of doing that at the end. Just sneak in a bit of mulled wine as people are going. As long as you say you're going, I think you're allowed to take a drink as long as you are going, but what you can't is take a drink and then mingle. So anyway, we're really all over this like a rash, guys, but we do need your help to do all that. So if you can help, that's one way of serving. So we need to take Christmas by spending less. And spending less doesn't mean spending nothing. It just means differently. And begin your present giving with Jesus. Now, I used that verse about when Jesus says, when you have given something, when you've done something for the least and the people without, you have done something for me. So here's the link. Now, this is a lovely children's story. I'm probably going to absolutely massacre it because obviously I don't have time to read the whole thing to you. But you know, when I used to read it to my kids, I literally had tears in my eyes. And it's about Papa Panov, who's a very elderly cobbler in Russia. And he's coming to the end of his life, and he doesn't have any money, he doesn't have any family, and he's sitting there on Christmas Eve, and kind of the vibe is he's probably going to peg it any moment. And he's only got a tiny little bit of, just a little bit of candle left, and a little bit of thread left, and a little bit of leather left. And his wife has died, and he's all alone in his shop. And he decides to open up the old family Bible, and he reads the Christmas story about the birth of Christ. And he falls asleep, and he has a dream in which Jesus comes to him. And Jesus says that he's going to visit Papa Panov in person tomorrow, but that he will have to pay special attention since the disguised Jesus will not reveal his identity. So he wakes up the next morning, all excited about Christmas Day and meeting his potential visitor. And he's only got this little bit of leather, and so he decides what a baby Jesus is going to need is a tiny pair of shoes. So he gets working, and it's his last bit of thread, last bit of leather. And then finished, he sits back and then he notices that a street sweeper's working very early on this cold winter's morning. And touched by his hard work and his dejected appearance, he invites him inside for a hot cup of coffee, and then he goes. And the day goes on, and then he keeps his eyes peeled for his visitor, and no one's coming. And then he sees a beggar on the street, and he thinks, well, I've got nothing else to do, so he invites the beggar in and shares his last crust of bread with the beggar. And then late in the day, just as he was giving up hope of seeing Jesus, a single mother with a worn face, far too old for her young age, walks down the street clutching a baby. And Papa Panoff is still waiting for Jesus to come. He doesn't see him, so he invites them in and says, I'm waiting for a very important visitor, but while I'm waiting, you can come in and warm up. And then he gives this little beautiful baby this brand new pair of shoes that he's made. And soon it's dark, and Papa Panoff sighs, believing that his dream was just a dream. And then the voice of Jesus speaks and says that Jesus came to Papa Panoff in each and every person he had helped that day, from the street sweeper to the local beggar to the single mother whose baby now has this beautiful pair of shoes. I can't even begin to tell you how doing Christmas differently this year will restore in you the wonder, the magic, the miracle, and the meaning of it all. And that is the Advent conspiracy. Let's pray as we lead into communion. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you came on that first Christmas to redeem us and to set us free, to give us hope in a hopeless world, to heal the sick, restore sight to the blind, that the lame could walk again. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you will come again to defeat all evil and usher in the new heaven and the new earth. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you come every day in each and every one of us, your followers, to empower us to be your hands and feet in this broken world, to proclaim the good news of the gospel, and to set the captives free. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.